Thank you for listening to the Grace Church podcast. You are listening to Rooted by Eric Platt, where Eric is going through his life experiences, wounds of his own heart, and the ways that the Spirit of God has healed those things from an understanding of the grace message. If you would like to learn more about Grace Church or find other messages, please visit us at graceorlando.com.
All right, good morning. Good morning. Welcome to Rooted, the six wounds of the heart. So I'm going to share a little bit about myself and my own personal experience over the last 27 years with this. And in the last 5 years, it's sort of come together as a teaching. How many know that if you've never been through it, you can't teach it? Anybody can go to, you know, seminary and open a Bible and start teaching, but that doesn't mean they've been through it. Not saying that they can't do something, but having been through it gives us, I believe, an authority in that subject to be able to teach that. And so that's just my personal opinion. If that doesn't fly with you, it's okay. So I'm going to give you the two main things that I've really seen deliverance from. The first one was a 15-year drug addiction. The last 7 years of my drug addiction, I was living homeless on the streets in Los Angeles, addicted to crystal meth. People don't get out of those lifestyles. I've seen so many people go to prison, you know, for, you know, 5 to 20 years. People overdose and die. I've seen all that. And by the grace of God, I made it through. And on my last overdose, I remember that it was as an earthquake was going on inside me, and I knew there was no way of getting any help. And I said, Jesus, help me. And he did. And his love met me right where I was at. I never touched it ever again. And it's been 20 years now. The next one's really personal, but I'm going to go ahead and lay it out there. Why? We got no secrets. There's no such thing as secrets in the church. If we hold on and harbor secrets, they will eat away with it. James talked about praying for one another that we may be healed. And that's what he's talking about. He's not talking about like, oh, well, you know, I did this or I did that. It's an issue that we have that we can't seem to overcome. And we'll be talking a lot more about those and how it works and how we get free from them. So from 1984 to 2012, I was addicted to pornography. Now, if you don't know anything about pornography, and this might be a little uncomfortable for some of y'all, but hey, listen, there's people that are going to hear this that are going to get help because of it, okay? And by the way, when you're free from something, you don't have shame and guilt anymore over it. Amen. Yeah. I can talk about it in open, you know what I mean? And so I went back and forth from pornography. If you don't know, it's probably, as far as addictions, it's the hardest one to break out of all of them. And so in 2012, I was working at the Dream Center, and I had been free for a year, but I was still carrying shame and guilt. See, we become so accustomed to shame and guilt, we don't even realize what normal is anymore. And until he took that off of me, I didn't know the difference because I'd been carrying it for so long. And so basically, I was sitting there, I was listening to Joseph Prince, and he was talking about, you know, every time, you know, you look at pornography, your wife becomes less attractive to you. And I broke. I love my wife. I didn't want that to happen. You know what I mean? And I broke. And I'll never forget what he said to me. He goes, son, when you were looking at that pornography, I loved you as if you were doing the best thing in the world for me. Set me free. Shame and guilt was gone. It's been 8 years now. I'll be going on a decade, you know, within the next couple years, and I've never been free like that before. And it all comes down to the root issues of the heart. And that's what a lot of people suppress their whole Christian life, and they never find free. It doesn't mean they're not saved. Doesn't mean they're still not righteous. Doesn't mean they're still not holy. Doesn't mean they're not going to heaven. All that stuff is true. But what it does mean is they're not having the best quality of life here. And that's what we, hey, listen, Sammy Hagar said it the best. We want the best of both worlds. You know, those people that say, oh, I'll just, you know, suffer along when I get to, no, I want to enjoy the best here. Amen. Because we'll never live it like this ever again. Because once we transition over, that's it. So we want to live the best quality of life here. And guess what? It's never too late. Never. It's never too late. I mean, I'm almost 50. And it's like, you know, it's never too late. So anyways, this teaching that we're going to do today, this is just a foundation so you understand how it works. Then we'll go over the six different wounds, which are rejection, shame and guilt, insecurity, worthlessness, self-hatred and regret, and disappointment and frustration. Okay, so those are the ones that we're going to go over the next 6 weeks. Okay, and so where I want to start off is the Samaritan woman. Nowhere in the Gospels is it recorded that Jesus said, "Hold on, pump the brakes, stop. I must needs," in the King James Version, "go this way." It's the Greek word for all that. It's one Greek word, D-E-I. I've got it all written up here so you can take a snapshot if you want, go back and study on your own. And why did he do that? And you know what that word literally means? Absolutely necessary. It's absolutely necessary that I meet this woman at the well. Why? So when you get into teaching, I won't go much to it in depth, but in Hebrew, there's four different levels of teaching. So there's a root, and then there's a surface, and there's two in between. On the surface, we say, hey, this is just a woman. The root is, this is the church. Do you know that a Samaritan is both Jew and Gentile? They're mixed. Isn't that what the church is made up of? Jew and Gentile. Pretty interesting, right? This comes from, they said, our father Jacob's well. So what line did this come through? Joseph. Remember, he married a Gentile bride, and he had two sons, Manasseh and Ephraim. And that's how it, from my study. If there's anything else you got, please share it with me. I'd like to know, because I can always add to this, you know what I mean? I'm definitely open, you know, for what people have to say. And so that's where that line came from. So this is the church. Proverbs 31:10. Who can find a virtuous woman? Kail is the Hebrew word, and it literally means worthy. Who can find a worthy woman? And she, and King Lemuel's writing this, and he's talking about, stay away from them women. Right? Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. Now, at that time, only kings had rubies. It wasn't used as an actual currency. So it's talking about something that's a stream about, and it says that it's above. What's above? The blood of Jesus Christ is those rubies of currency that he used to redeem us. By the way, all that stuff, if you're trying to live a life after that, of all the stuff that she did, Jesus already did all that work. That's not the work for you to do. And any of that will come as a fruit through you, but it won't be you striving and straining to do that to become. So really, the root here is that the church knows their worth. See, if you don't know your worth, you're going to live like you don't know your worth. And you might have one thing in your life that you haven't been able to get rid of, and you still think you're worthless in that area. And we need the grace of God to be established in that area so that you can bring forth the fruit that you need to bring forth. Now, what's interesting, that numbers play a role, especially in Hebrew. And for every Hebrew letter, there is a numeric value. So this is valid. We can use this as a teaching, okay? So when Jesus went to the well, the Samaritan woman came in the heat of the day. She didn't go in the cool of the morning where the other women went. She went, why? She was carrying shame and guilt. Why? She'd been married to five men, and the man she's with now isn't her husband. See how that is? Isn't it funny? You could have a root of shame and guilt, and you could avoid people just because you don't want them to, you know, put more shame and guilt on you, because you know how people are. But do you see how that's controlling her? That root of shame and guilt is controlling her. So basically, he's like, woman, you know, draw me some water. She goes, what are you, being a Jew, talking to me, a Samaritan? Don't you know that Samaritans, Jews, have no dealings? And he says, if you knew who it was that asked you, give me water, and you would ask him, and he would give you water that you would never have to drink again. Sir, give me this water. I'm paraphrasing. Sir, give me this water. He goes, go get your husband. I love how he does that. It's so kind. Hey, go get your husband. Yeah, I'll give you this water. Go get your husband. She goes, I don't have a husband. He goes, I know. You've had five husbands, and the husband you have now is, or the man that you have now isn't your husband. Six. So the number six is in Hebrew is vav. It's the number man. It's a picture of a nail that joins two things together, and you're bound by. See, how many know that wounds don't come from things? They come from people. And every wound, there's a breach of trust. That's how that wound came apart. Like if your car breaks down on you, you might be upset, but it's not like the car was a person and they hurt you and now you got a wound from the car. That doesn't work. People hurt people. And why do people hurt people? Because they're hurting. That's why we need to have compassion. So Vav. So basically she was joined together to something that was dead. And it would never give her the life. That's why she was looking for something more coming to that well. But all she could do is drink from that same well that was for man. Right? So she was bound to a way of death. And she could never find life from any of it. And she went from one to another, to the point where she gave up on the covenant of marriage. And she said, I'm done with this. I'll just be with somebody, but I won't be married to him. And then Jesus is the seventh man that she meets. El Guapo. Hey, how many know who Absalom is? They said he was perfect in every way. How much more Jesus that had no sin? In him was no sin. He knew no sin. He committed no sin. How much more beautiful was Jesus? Right? So met the seventh. Now the seventh Hebrew letter is Zayin, which is a picture of a tool and a weapon. That means I'll work for you and I'll protect you. She couldn't find from any of those men who would work for her and protect her. Because you know, women in that day, if they didn't have a husband, they would have to take out prostitution to be able to support themselves. Yeah. Talk to Mary Magdalene. Right? Yeah. So the seventh man set her free and she became an evangelist. She went back and told the whole town, hey man, I met a man that told me everything about me. And she wasn't ashamed about it because she obviously found life in this. She went and told everybody. Not that all those people didn't already know, but this guy, he knew everything about me. I never met him before. And what did that do? That produced life. She became an evangelist. Women were the first evangelists. Okay. So as far as that's concerned, that's just the foundation. It's funny, I had this teaching before, and then he gave me the Samaritan woman to add on to it. This is how it works. Make sense? And see, we can still have things in our life that we're holding on to that are dead and don't produce life. It's not God doing it to us. It's us holding on to something out of fear of losing it. But sometimes losing something is the best thing that can ever happen. That way, something else new can come in. Okay, so then we're going to look at, you've got your sheet of paper there, right? So let's go over that real quick. So there's the heart with the roots, and then there's the tree, and then you got all these different roots that we talked about, and the solutions are on the back. This is a study sheet for you. As things come up and you're listening to this and something comes up, jot it down. I've left lines there for you to do that. You can even put it in something else like, a composition book or something like that you want to write and journal down things. And so everything starts with the heart. It works through the branches and brings forth the fruit. See, when I was in church, I was told a heresy. I was told that if you still have sin in your life, you're not saved. That's what I was told. Or you need to get born again. You were born again, but then, you fell from that spot, and then, you need to confess your sins and get born. I've been through all that. I know exactly the bondage that is. And that is absolutely, how can something that's life, God's life can never die? And it's in you. And it says in John 14:27, that he will abide in you forever. How can you argue with that? Just because you read some obscure passages from Hebrews? It's ridiculous. We have everlasting life living in us. You're so clean. I know sometimes, how many feel dirty sometimes? We all do. But that doesn't determine how God sees you. Because how God sees you is what you are seated right at the right hand of the Father in Christ. And guess what? You couldn't be any cleaner than you are now. As clean as Jesus is, so are you. And you need to know that when you fail so you don't keep doing what you're doing. But when you know you're clean and you got a revelation that you're clean, it will empower you so that you don't have to continue to live in that any longer. Amen? Okay, so Psalms 1:3. I love this one. So shall be like trees planted by the river of water that bring forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does, or she does, shall prosper. Yeah. Ladies in the house, I had to put that in there. Yeah. Like, in the same manner, like a tree. So how does a tree work? Sunlight, water. Jesus said, I'm the light of the world. And he told the woman, the Samaritan woman at the well, I've got living water. Light and water. Listen, let me tell you, I don't know if you're charismatic, I don't know if you're Baptist, I don't know what you come from, it doesn't matter to me. I will tell you this, I have seen miracles. I've experienced miracles. But I will tell you, the rock solid foundation of any change will come from renewing of your mind. That word renewing, Paul uses it twice, once in Romans 12, 2, and then in Ephesians 4, 22, 23, 24. And what does he say? Renew your mind, right? What does that literally mean? The word renew, the root word, ana neo. Ana means to reverse to the beginning, and neo means start all over new. So the whole way, if you got a thinking that's all wrong, we're going to get rid of all that, and we're going to start over and new again. And that's the key, really is. Now, doesn't mean we don't expect miracles, because God does do miracles. I've seen them. That time, you know, where I experienced his love after that overdose, never touched it again. Never had a desire for it. And I'm not just up here like trying to pull the wool over your eyes, telling you stuff that ain't true. I never had a desire for drugs after that. And it's been 20 years. See, that's when you know you've been delivered. Amen. But it's okay if you're struggling where you're at right now. That doesn't mean that's where you're going to stay. Amen? Okay, so light and water. Okay? Now, another thing, so God sees us, the way trees work is the way we work. Spiritually. Okay? So we receive light and water. Water is the fruit we bring forth. Water is what changes us from the inside and out that produces that light. What do you say? Be light unto the world. Don't cover the light with a basket. Let it shine forth that all may see and see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Do you see that? So the water is what changes the roots down there where the heart is, and it brings forth the fruit, which is the light. You ever remember that scripture that Jesus talked about? You'll do greater works than I. And then I hear a lot of people, they downplay this and they're like, well, we're not seeing greater works than him. Yeah, we are. There's a mini Jesus all over this world when Jesus was just in one place and one time. So the little things that you think he's doing are a lot bigger than you really think. And there's a lot more people as well that are doing those little things that are actually really big things. Amen. The little things, man, we downplay the little things. You know, oh, I didn't see this big thing where, you know, the Shekinah glory fell on me and whatever. That happens. It's happened to me a few times in the last 20 years. You know what I mean? But it's not all the time. What's all the time is when I'm studying the word and I see something I never saw before, it seems like a little thing that's a big thing, because now my life's changed forever in that area. Woo! Don't hurt nobody. So, and then, and Mark, by the way, did you know, 950, I'm a Bible nerd, just in case you didn't know. Like, basically, according to my calculations, I'm a Bible nerd. 951 times the heart's mentioned. Don't you think we should pay attention to what he's saying? Yeah. You know what I mean? 951 times the same word's been mentioned over and over. That's King James Version, by the way. So if you have a different version, the numbers may vary, because they can use different words. Mark 8:22-25. There was a man that was blind, and Jesus spit on his eyes in this case. There's another one where he mixed it with clay, but he spit on his eyes, and he goes, what do you see? He goes, I see men as trees. He opened his eyes up spiritually first so he could see how things really worked, and then he did it again, and then he saw men normal. Yeah. Pretty interesting stuff, huh? Yeah. Okay, Proverbs 4:23. By the way, if you go back and read Proverbs 4, the context of this is the word of God. He says, my son, incline your ear to my sayings. It's his word. Mm-hmm. Then he all goes on and even says that my words are health to all your flesh. Mm-hmm. By the way, if you got problems with your brain, that means your brain matter too. That's included. Mm-hmm. Ooh. Yes. Okay. So anyways, the scripture is keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring forth the issues of life. You see how the heart has to do with the issues of life. The things that we do. So when I was a youth pastor, me and my wife were youth pastors for 7 years, and we got the worst of the worst youth. We got the people nobody else wanted, and that's who we wanted. I didn't need cookie cutter, you know, we got it all on the outside, but we're going to go drink and sleep together, you know, on the outside and then come back to church like everything's okay. That's sort of how it was in the Bible Belt in Texas. And nothing against Texas. I got to say that because my wife, she might hear that, and she's from Texas, yeah. And so, anyways, it happens from you're changed from the inside out. It's never from the outside in. God always deals with the heart first. And I love God's correction is so good that when it's really him and it's not condemnation coming from an angel of light that's trying to imposter God, okay, you leave out feeling loved. You leave out feeling loved. I said, whenever you're not listening to a false angel of light, which is the enemy that's condemning you, but he gives you his correction, you always feel loved when you walk away. If you're not feeling loved, that wasn't the correction of God. God is love. You know what I mean? You should never feel shame and guilt through correction. Why would God have taken Adam and his wife and covered taken the fig leaves off, which represents the curse, okay, and put coats of skin on them to cover them so they didn't see themselves naked anymore? Right? Because what did they say? We're naked. He covered that. Why would he do that if he wanted them to feel shame and guilt? You know, there's a proverb, and it says, if your enemy's hungry, give him bread to eat. If he's thirsty, give him water to drink. For so you'll heap coals of fire on your head, and the Lord shall reward you. And this is a big time where I was reading commentary Bibles, you know, because I didn't know nothing, so I wanted to know something, you know? I mean, I'm sure we've all done it at some point. And in the commentary, it said, heap coals of fire on their head. It says, you put shame and guilt on them. Do you know that in Hebrew, so when I started studying Hebrew and I went and re-looked at that scripture, it doesn't mean that. So in Hebrew, it's esh rosh, fire on the head, esh rosh. Esh means fire, rosh means head. That's the word in Psalms 1:1, blessed, happy. You make them happy. So when you give them the bread of life and you give them the water of life, you make them happy. No shame and guilt. Okay. So anyways, look, you're talking to a person that has walked through some shame and some guilt, man, a drug addict and a porn addict. Let me tell you what, you're going to walk through some guilt. So I know the difference between the two. I can discern now, by the grace of God, the difference between the two. Okay, so keep is netzar. It means to protect. Here, let me give you a little statistic. So there was a chaplain in a Florida prison, and he did a survey to find out all the different ethnic groups that were locked up and incarcerated in that prison. Do you know, out of all of them, there was only 2 Jews. Wow. Do you know, at 5 years old, they start learning the Torah? Now, I'm not saying we go to the law, but there's something we can learn from what they do because they seem successful in so many ways. And it's like there's obviously a remnant of a blessing from Abraham on those people. Now, they might not have Christ yet, but they have a remnant of blessing on them. And I was like, it's like they're already learning protect your heart when they're young. So then when they get a teenager, they don't open it up and let everybody come in and trample all over it. Okay. Protect your heart, okay? Now, the word heart is the Hebrew word leb, okay? Lamid is a picture of a shepherd's staff, which means to control. Bet means in or inside. So heart means what controls the inside. So if you have chaos controlling your heart, that's what's going to come out. But if you have grace controlling your heart, that's what's going to come out. I mean, man, listen, people, we need Jesus in this day and age just to drive to the supermarket without flipping somebody off and slapping the taste out of somebody's mouth. And if that's not you, it's me. And on my motorcycle, people would cut me off, and I'd chase them down, pull up, park my bike, beat on their window, boom, 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 boom. What are you doing? You cut me off. But by the grace of God, I realized that wasn't. Yeah, it's not a good. Well, people got guns today. They'll just pull out a gun and shoot you. You won't even think twice, you know. And so anyways, you know, just some real talk, you know what I'm saying? Why do I do that? And God showed me. He goes, son, because when you were in seventh grade, you were in front of a girl that you liked, and this guy that was bigger and stronger than you came up and sucker punched you in the mouth and humiliated you in front of a girl, and I was wounded from that point on. And anytime somebody disrespect, a fire of rage would open up. Yes. See how this stuff works? Yes. Are you guys getting this?
Yeah.
Yeah. And actually has to do with forgiving that guy, which I have. But I've just, you know, God showed me how this stuff works. Diligence, shamar. I love this word. It is a fence of thorns. You protect yourself by having a fence of thorns around your heart so nothing can get in that can harm you. Isn't that awesome?
Yes.
Do you know back in the days of Jesus, they didn't have regular fences. Like, you know how they keep the cows in and there's a plank of wood and then there's barbed wire? It was all thorn bushes that they would plant around, and they would have one gateway where the shepherd would lead them out into pastures and bring them back. It was thorns. That's just a picture of how Jesus protects us. So now, our heart, now when we get into this, the word going down into your heart will put a fence of thorns around your heart to protect you from things coming in that shouldn't be coming in. See, it's like somebody says, well, you're just, you know, worthless. I know. Just let it in. No, I'm not worthless. I've got value. Why? Jesus laid down his life for me. That gives me value. Yes. Matter of fact, according to Proverbs 31:10, it's high above. Woo! See, when you understand how much you're worth, you treat yourself different. Yes. Amen? Okay. All right, now that we've gone through Proverbs here, with 423. Now we're going to go by the grounds. Jesus actually talked a lot about the heart. He really did. If you look, he had a lot to say about the heart. So there's four different grounds, okay? There's the wayside, there's the stony ground, there's the thorny ground, there's the good ground, okay? Wayside. Now, a sower went out to sow, so the sower did give. Anybody heard 1 Peter 5:5? It says, God gives, he resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Okay, we got to be careful how we interpret, so we need to interpret with other scriptures. Here it says, a sower went out to sow. So, was the sower still sowing grace?
Yeah.
Yes, he was still sowing grace. But the ground was so hard that the seed hit the ground, bounced off it, and went to the wayside. It's pride. Grace can't get into a heart that has pride. Doesn't mean these people aren't born again. We're talking about believers this morning. We're not even talking about unbelievers. We're talking about believers with pride. So the Hebrew word for pride is geah. And gemel, it's a picture of a camel in its humps, which means to lift up. Okay. Aleph is a picture of an ox, which means strength. And then hay is a picture of feminine, so it means what comes from. So pride means what comes from lifting up your strength. See, we have pride, we sort of categorize it with arrogance, that somebody thinks they're better than you know other people, but pride here is you trying to use your own strength to fix your own life. And when you're doing that, God could be throwing seed all day, but it just bounces off the wayside because you're not at a place where you can receive it. Does that make sense? But he's still sowing. He's still doing it. It's not that he's not doing it. He's doing it. Okay, so, and also, you know what? God's so good. You know, in Proverbs 16:18, it said, pride cometh before the fall. Oh, watch out for that. That's the best thing that can happen to you. Because what are you going to fall into? Grace. So God has a system set up to even when you have pride, you're eventually going to fall, and when you fall, you're going to fall into the loving arms of grace. Man, that's awesome. Because, we didn't try to get proud. It's a lack of trust. That's why we try to do it on our own. Okay.
But guess what? Even if you have a lack of trust in an area, God's still doing something. He knows how to get you to the place where you need to be at so that you can fall into that grace, and that grace can bring you back up to where you, even higher than that pride could ever get you. Stony ground. This is law and grace. Sir Mix-a-Lot. Javen had, what did Javen say? He said DJ Mix or something like that. Yeah. DJ Mixture. And so I call it Sir Mix-a-Lot. So you, most of the church is under this category. And I say that respectfully, okay? Most of the church is under this category. And what happens is if you read the actual scripture, it says it goes down, but it's shallow, but there's a rock underneath it, okay? It's stony ground. There's stones all in the ground. So it can never take root and grow up. How many know the deeper the roots go, the higher it can go? If you know anything about tall buildings, they have to go super deep so it has a foundation where it can erect and stand tall. Well, it's the same way that works with this. So stony ground, that's the law. It's mixture. Do you know in Hebrews 13:9, it says, do not be carried away with false doctrine. For it is a good thing that the heart be established in grace. That word established is bebayo, and it literally means the very base is laid of grace. So the very base is laid of grace. It can take root, and it could go down, and it can grow up, and it can grow up, and it could grow up. But when you have mixture, guess what happens? The stones prevent it from going down.
Yeah, that scripture was Hebrews 13:9.
Yeah, I wrote them all out there just so you guys, and you could take a snapshot of this afterwards. Everybody getting this so far? You've seen how this works. Now here's my favorite, the thorny ground. What's the thorny ground? Now remember, scripture interprets scripture. So we can't just define these things on our own. We have to have other scripture that supports this. Okay? So basically the thorny ground was the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches. The cares of this world is riches. It is money. It's all about money. Why do you think it says the root of all evil, the love of all evil, or the love of money is the root of all evil? Thank you. Do you know that word love? It's a root word for the word phileo, which is brotherly love, that you're in an intimate relationship with money. And money brings power, and power brings control. Why do you think our world's in such the mess that it's in today? All right, so in Genesis 3:17-19, you can go back and read it, but it basically says, because of what you've done. I love this. God never cursed the ground. It says, because of what you've done, the ground is cursed. And now you will work by the sweat of your brow for bread. So in other words, there's the implication with this person that God's not going to take care of me financially, right? I'm going to have to do it on my own. Man, I could tell you some stories. The 5 years that me and my wife have been through, man, you just, and I've been everything that I shouldn't have been. And I've been through that. I've walked through that. And God's brought me out of that. But I'm telling you right now, it's all it is us trying to take care of ourselves. Yeah. That's what it is. Yeah. And again, you don't need to feel bad about that. That's just where you're at. God knows how to get you out of there. He got me out. You know what I mean? And now there's a light on the horizon now. You know what I mean? And he's going to do the same thing in your life. Just remember, because of what Jesus did at the cross, behind the scenes, God's working out everything together for your good, even without your cooperation. Because he knows how to get you to the end of yourself. Well, you'll be like, all right, just have your way. You know what I mean? He knows how to do that. He's God. Amen? Okay, and then the last ground is good. That's humility. Humility. By the way, hey, humility isn't something that we conjure up. That's false humility. Humility is you're humbled by the gospel. Right. That you understand who he is, what he's done, the place he took, King of Kings to a mere man, okay? And what he went through for us, that brings humility. So here, this 4:19 of Luke, I come to preach the gospel to the poor and to bind up the brokenhearted. Actually, in the Greek, it uses the word for heal, the brokenhearted. But I'm going off of where it came from originally, Isaiah 61:1. So to preach. Listen to this in Hebrew, preach. It's the word shofar. It's actually the root word safar, but it's the word shofar. You guys know what a shofar is? It's a male ram's horn. And they sound it. Remember they used them at Jericho. Do you know Jericho? All Jericho was a picture of fallen man, and those walls were man's walls built up, and the gospel brought those walls down so Rahab could be brought into the genealogy of Jesus. I mean, you know, so listen to this. So it's a shin, a pay, and a resh. Shin, when you see it by itself, anybody know what a mezuzah is? So mezuzah is this little, and it has a shin on it. It's this little scroll thing, and it has the Shema in it. Right, which is from Deuteronomy like 6:4 or something like that. And whenever they go to their door, they say the Shema. Whenever they leave, they say the Shema. So that tool in itself, if it was the gospel, could actually be useful. You know what I mean? Like hanging up scriptures on your wall when you walk in, you're like, hey, that's on the refrigerator. Wow, reminding me of that. Okay, so Shin means the Almighty, Shaddai. Pei is a picture of a mouth, which means to speak. And Rosh is a picture of a peak of a mountain, which means high. That means whenever the gospel is being spoken over you, guess what? It's Shaddai speaking highly over you. That's the gospel. He's speaking highly over you. Why? Because he gave his best for you. So what he gave and its value has the same value to God of what you have. Wow. All right, and for bind up the brokenhearted. So how do you bind up the brokenhearted? Preaching the gospel to the poor. I always, you know, think the poor was like people that were just didn't have any money. No. They were poor because they had no currency within to redeem themselves with. They couldn't do it. They could never do what only God could do. And so anyways, it's a kibosh. It means to bind up tightly. So this is how they did it with a wound. They would put all these healing ointments in it, and they would wrap it around the wound and tie it and secure it very tightly. And everything that was in there of the healing ointments would soak into the wound and heal it from the inside out. That's the same thing the Word of God will do to your heart. It's put in your heart, and it's tightly sealed, and all the healings of the Word, whatever you need healing for, will soak into the heart, and from the inside out, the heart will be healed. Let me tell you this, and then we'll be... What time is it?
9 after.
Oh, I'm good. I still got like 7 minutes. Okay, so my discipler, man, 15 years of drugs. Dude, listen, I wasn't no weekend warrior. Did you get that? I wasn't no weekend warrior. I did drugs every single day unless I was locked up. And I think I was locked up for maybe like 3 years out of the 20 years, okay? Which is a miracle in itself. I should have been locked up, you know, a lot longer than that. And so my discipler that I was under for 4.5 years. This is when I first came into the church. He had cirrhosis of the liver. He was a Hell's Angel. He was a sergeant at arms in California. And when he was in Soledad prison, a big corn-fed white boy gave him a Bible. He always kept that Bible. And in his getaway house, he had that Bible on the stand, you know, like a lampstand. And he had cirrhosis, because he was a Jack Daniels man, he had cirrhosis of the liver. And so what ended up happening was he couldn't get out of the bed to where he was urinating and fecaling on himself. And he said, God, if you get me out of this bed, I will serve you the rest of my days. 3 days later, he got out of the bed and grabbed that Bible. You know the first thing he did? He started in Genesis, and he started writing down on every wall in his house all the scriptures.
Wow.
To where he was surrounded with the Word of God all the time. Okay? And he came out of it. He came out of that lifestyle. He said one time he was volunteering at a church. He was the maintenance guy. And this is where I will wrap it up and to let you know the importance of the Word of God, okay? All of his biker buddies came, like 100 of them on like, you know, Harleys and all this. And the lady from the front desk screams back, they're coming. And so anyways, what ended up happening is, he said, brother, I can't go back to you guys. They're like, come on, we got your bike, we got your girl, we got everything you need, man. Come on back. I can't do it anymore. That experience of grace, his life was changed.
Wow.
And ever since then, he was on a mission with the Word of God to transform his life, first and foremost. Amen. Yes, miracles are great when they come, but let's stick with the foundation that Paul gave with the renewing of the mind. Amen?
Yes. Amen.
Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for this time. I pray, Lord, any words that weren't of you, let them just fall to the ground, that they would be deaf to them. And what was of you, I just pray, Lord, that it would be sown into their heart to bring forth 30, 60, 100-fold. In the name of Jesus, amen.